Somebody call with a shadow rodent story so I know I'm not nuts. We'll be back in a moment. We'll continue to take your phone calls, your stories with our special guest, Heidi Hollis, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Heidi Hollis, our guest, author of The Secret War, The Heavens Speak of the Battle. You know, Heidi, I've had a number of guests on the program who truly believe that extraterrestrials are not just from other planets. They believe that they are demonic and that they are, you know, deceivers and they are devils.
Well, they do have a lot in common, and that is because they are controlled by the same source. Not all beings are like that, though. I think too much focus kind of goes towards these more negative alien beings when there's a whole army of more positive beings that are out teaching people how to defend themselves against these more negative beings, which is how I came by a lot of the information that I have now about shadow people and the conflict going on in alien contact. Everything is abduction, this and that, because, you know, fear sells. But it's not all about them, you know. I think we give them too much credit in making them into cartoons as being cutesy little gray creatures here to, you know, right, for us to hug and love. And it's like, you know, when it comes down to it, say there's a battle going on. You got your grays to your left, and you got these other aliens to your right that you've never seen before depicted out in the media. You're going to go to the ones that you're most familiar with. But if you actually trust your gut instinct and go with what feels positive, it won't be the ones that you've seen drawn everywhere. It'll be the beings that are off to your right that you've never seen coming in, infiltrating our society and harassing us. They're the ones that are here to kick some other alien butt, essentially. So that's what I wrote about in The Secret War, and also how the shadow people played into it. I called them shadow people for years before I ever heard anybody speaking of them. And I wrote that book before I heard people speaking of them. And people independently all over the world call them shadow people. And, you know, it's kind of interesting how people are coming together and discussing these things now. And I'm really fascinated by the stories coming in.
Do you think a righteous person can fight off any demonic spirit or entity?
I'm positive of it. And I think anybody has the capability, because God gave us all that we need. It's just a matter of us trusting in that and being able to, you know, take control of the gift that we have to be able to fight off these more negative things.
All right, let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going, first of all, to our wild card line. Thank you for calling. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Sean from Rochester, New York.
Hi, Sean.
Hey. Heidi, George, honor. Thank you very much.
Well, you waited long enough. You're entitled to it, Sean.
Appreciate it. About 6 months ago, I was in my apartment. I recently moved out of there, not because of this episode, but nothing has ever gone on in there. But one night, I was lying in bed, like most of the callers have said, about tonight, and I had my friend sleeping next to me. I wake up in the middle of the night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I notice a shadow. It was as Heidi described earlier, like it's dim, but your eyes adjust. Mm-hmm. And I could see a shadow of a male, bald, like leap across the wall. Like it was a part of the wall. It leaped across there. And I'm like, okay, well, I listen to Coast to Coast. I'm keen on these guys. I'll just leave it alone and blah, blah, blah. So I close my eyes. And then I wake up to something cold that's touching my face. I wake up and it's kneeling right next to me. It's not doing anything. It's not being aggressive or anything. And it kneels over me, and his head is like swaying on the top of mine. And it feels like almost it's going inside of me and coming back out. So I've had enough now, and I scream. Just to go away, which wakes my friend up. My dad plows out of his room. He has to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. he rushes into mine to see if I'm okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, yep, I'm fine, thank you. I can still see it in the corner, though. It's, like, cowering in the corner. Mm-hmm. And it stays there for about a two-week period before I move out. And I haven't seen it since.
Wow.
Can they actually get this scared of you? Can you do this? Because I didn't say Jesus or anything like that. I'm not very religious.
Right.
But just, I got right into his face, and I screamed at it.
They don't want to be spotted because their power comes over, you know, from what you give to it. So it didn't appreciate, I guess, being spotted and kind of cowered and was kind of waiting for a better opportunity to probably come at you. So it's kind of questionable exactly what he was planning on doing with you because you reacted so quickly.
When it was trying to get, like, I thought it was trying to, like, jump inside of me or blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
When it was touching me, what was that an aggressive stance? Because after I screamed and I saw it in the corner, it almost seems pathetic. Like, it doesn't know what it's doing.
Well, as we've heard the other callers call in, speaking of having bruises on them, I mean, they kind of test the ground to see, you know, how far they can go with you. So it was probably, you know, seeing, you know, what it could do and how far it could go. And it might have gone further if you didn't react the way that you did. You showed that you were aware and just as strong as it to be able to back it up into the corner the way you did. So I think that, you know, luck was on your side and God was on your side or whomever, you know, to, you know, back this thing up. So you're very fortunate that you didn't get the bruises and maybe have this thing possess you.
Okay. I appreciate it, and I thank you for having me on. And from all the radio guys and Radio Land, we all wish Art very, very well in his escapade he's having.
All right, so, thank you. Appreciate you calling. Yep, Art's taking a couple weeks off. Wildcard Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Billy. I'm calling from Grinnell, Iowa. Hi, Heidi. I'm hoping glad that you can help me here. I'm a paper carrier. I have called before, and people think I'm nuts. But one night, I was delivering to this house, and I put the paper in their mailbox. I was, you know, walking back to my truck, and I swear to God, this thing come up from behind me and grabbed me. It wasn't transparent. I would say more translucent. The thing was extremely tall. He was black, and his fingers were like a black and grayish, and he had long fingers, and it draped over my shoulder, and it scared me so bad, I spun around, and I jumped in my truck, and the whole left side of my body tingled for about a half hour. And I have also, on two different other occasions, I have seen this tall black shadow, I would say, leaping through the backyards, and I'm telling you, he can take one leap and he's behind another house, another leap and then he's behind another house. Whatever this thing is, it has tormented me, and I'm just wondering what the heck is it and why is it doing that to me?
Mm. You know, something important to note about shadow people, the difference between them and ghosts is that shadow people will follow you wherever you go. It doesn't matter if you're driving, if you've moved, or whatever it is. If you're their target, they're going to try to get you in any way that they can. And this sounds, and when you spoke about the pale hands or the hands that you felt, that sounds like the Hat Man. I've heard of him grabbing people's ankles from under a couch. And
oh my, it's, you know what, it scared me so bad, I probably startled him,
mm-hmm.
you know, the way I jumped. And I was just like, oh my God, you know, and like I said, I just feel like I'm tormented
mm-hmm.
when I go down that one street. I mean, I'm in a senior community back here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I have seen silhouettes of people. I have seen them jiggle door handles when I go to put the paper in the door and stuff. And I'm not frightened by those people at all. It's just like, I think that these are spirits that are here and just don't realize that they're gone. But that particular thing, I did not like. And I was just wanting to make sure that this thing is not like, really after me, because like I said, my whole left side of my body tingled for about a half hour afterwards.
Well, it sounds like you're suspicious that it is kind of targeting you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and trust your gut on that. I mean, don't doubt it. If that's what your gut is telling you, I think this thing is after me, it's happened a couple times, you know, trust it. And whatever this thing is, you can't let it direct you in your life and, you know, create any kind of fear for anything that you do in your life. So you really need to take charge of the situation and, you know, tell this thing to go away.
Yeah, I do a lot of praying when I go down that street. And then, like, not long after that, I seen two orbs, like, another night. And, like, one bounced right across the hood of my truck. You know, I was sitting there parked. And I was like, oh, okay, that didn't bother me. And then when I was driving away, I seen another orb. It was probably the same one. It was, like, behind my truck, and it was just, like, going up and down, up and down. Mm-hmm. And then it just disappeared. But I wasn't frightened by those things.
Right.
It was on the same street.
So different.
Yeah.
This thing is quite different. That's the story that I get from a lot of people in regards to this Hat Man and the Shadow People. It's such a deep evil and just chunks amount of fear that comes from a person when they're closely standing to these next to these things. So, yeah, it sounds very typical of either the Hat Man or the Shadow People that's, you know, taunting you. So I would definitely, you know, take a stance. You know, say your prayers, you know, and just say, hey, this isn't going to happen anymore, and stand firm with that. Don't let anything, you know, bully you like that. I've had so many people that do the darndest things to try to keep these things away from them. They're like, you know, I think if I drink enough, I'll be able to sleep through the night, you know, odd things like that. Anything to try to keep them away instead of, you know, facing them head on. And I'm not talking about challenging them. I'm talking about repelling them and standing firm with that.
You know, we get some incredible stories, too, Heidi, about people who see the hatted shadow person standing on the side of the road. A lot of truck drivers have seen this creature, this thing, and it just seems to show up. How would you like to be driving down the road and you see that? Sounds like an old Twilight Zone movie, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I've had people write to me saying that after I avoided a near accident, I've seen the shadow Hat Man guy standing at the side of the road, like, anticipating me to have that accident. One person that had that happen to him four times, he avoided an accident, and there was a Hat Man, you know. So, yeah, he seems to kind of have that close-knit relation to, like, near-death type of things happening, which is kind of disturbing, you know. Was he waiting and hoping that you would die? Then what would happen? Would he claim you? You know, what is it?
Is there anything that science can do to fight these things? I mean, can you point some kind of a you know, electromagnetic ray gun at them or anything?
You know, this is a battle that has been spoken of and written of for centuries that was going to be happening between the light and the dark. And, you know, things are just coming to a blow now. And it's all about the matter of the soul and having the strength to stand up for what you believe in. And it's no fence sitting. It's you know, either you're in for the good or you're in for the bad. And, you know, all of us have our good and bad points, but, you know, where do we truly, you know, have our loyalties? Where do our loyalties lie? So I think that's important.
First time caller line, your turn. And where are you calling from? Hi there.
Hi, George. Hi, Heidi. My name's Beth, and I'm in Milwaukee, and I'm listening on StreamLink.
Yeah. Hi, Beth.
Hi. First, George, I want to express my appreciation for the humanity you bring to your profession, because it makes it much easier to reveal this experience, because it's just so freaky that you'd end up in the rubber room if you told anybody, you know, in real life. And here I am stepping into the coast-to-coast confessional, you know, to tell the world. But
say six Hail Marys after this program.
Well, I was going to give this disclaimer that I'm oriented times three. I'm not mental, but it seems like you guys get this, so it's easier to tell. I just have to have an answer for this. It's so freaky. Last spring, it was a regular Mayberry RFD-type morning, bright sunshine. I'm outside on my front lawn filling the bird feeder, and all of a sudden, you know, like when you're looking out at the things that you see, like the houses and the flowers and the plants and everything, your visual field, it was as if the visual field was like a window shade, and it kind of pulled back, just like a corner, And all of a sudden, out of this little hole, this gigantic panther leaped out right at me. And it was like, it just like lunged right at me with these huge teeth and everything. And it was like in that split second, it was like sheer terror. It was hideous, frantic adrenaline rush, like you knew that you were going to die. And as I, you know, I'm bracing myself for this impact. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it's like whoosh, it was behind me. And it exited like a few feet away from me out the same way. It was like your visual field lifted up like a window shade. And like there was no moment to filter it objectively, like, gee whiz, Beth, this couldn't be real. It's like, how do you tell somebody there's a panther on the loose? Because,
right.
You know, and it went through a hole in your visual field, you know. There's like a school across the street from me. I'm like, oh, my God, where did this thing go? And it was the most freaky, petrifying experience I've ever had.
I've heard of people witnessing like a unzipping of something in the middle of, out of nowhere, you know, out of the sky or whatever, and seeing a window all of a sudden, somebody's looking down at them. Also in seeing like ghostly-like impressions, like somebody popped out of nowhere and just walked right through them or something. And it seems very solid, very real. And these seem to be some kind of a portal opening that George had mentioned, you know, before. So it's confusing. I hadn't heard of a panther quite jumping out of something like that.
You know, and it was so real. I mean, I was like, it's going to knock me over onto the ground, you know. And it was like right there. And I don't hallucinate. I don't take drugs. And, you know, I'm not crazy.
Right.
So it was, oh, my gosh. It's given me the willies just thinking about it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's disturbing to suddenly see another glimpse of another reality. You know, it's like, whoa, what the heck? What is that about? Yeah, that's an interesting one. I haven't heard that before. That's very cool.
Thanks for your call, Beth. When we come back, have you had any stories at all, Heidi, tying in the Hat Man shadow person with either Mothman or old Spring-Heeled Jack that we heard from England, those kind of stories? Has anybody tried to tie those two together?
No, I haven't had any reports where people were trying to blend those three together.
All separate entities, no doubt.
Yes.
Okay, so when we come back, we'll continue with your phone calls with our guest, Heidi Hollis, of course. If you need to email her, you can do that by going to her websites. She's got four of them, all of them linked up at coasttocoastam.com. If you need to email me, that is always simple. That's george@coasttocoastam.com. So we'll be back in just a moment. We'll take your final phone calls. Don't go away. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, none other than David Icke joins us for a couple hours. Now, he's going to pick it up at 12 o'clock midnight Pacific time. David is only available for 2 hours, not the normal three-hour program. So we'll pick up David in the third and fourth hour of the program. But he will be our guest on our next Coast to Coast show. So I'm looking forward to that. And we'll be back with final phone calls with our guest Heidi Hollis and you on Coast to Coast AM. I mentioned at the top of the show that Heidi is going to be part of the Discovery Channel's X-Ops show. Now, what's your role in this program, Heidi?
I actually serve as kind of a voice for experiencers, since I've witnessed and experienced and helped a lot of people with so many different types of odd occurrences happening in their lives. So it's not a show that's solely based on scientific data, but also, you know, people that have experience things. As myself, there's a couple of psychics on the show, and the whole team of us have actually experienced some odd instances in filming the pilot for this show. And we really have a cool team of experts on the show. As you know, Josh Warren, Jim Mars, there's also Laura Lee, Karen Reese, Richard Alaniz, Brian Irish, Ruben Urit, and Nick Redfern. So that's going to be a blast of a show, and I think people will really, really enjoy it. I think it's a nice mixture.
Great. We just need to get the date. That's all. Huh?
Yeah, we're all waiting on that lovely date. And also, if people wanted to contact me and if they need any kind of on-the-level advice about anything peculiar, I have alienadvice.com they could go to and send me an email.
All right, great. Let's go back to the phones. Wildcard line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. Am I on?
It is, yes.
Hi, this is Max in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Hey there.
Hi, Max.
Can you hear me?
Sure, go ahead, hon.
George, I got a real quick question for you. My boyfriend sent in a poem to you called Years of Addiction, Not of Abduction.
Yes.
Do you happen to get that?
I did get that.
What are you going to do with it?
I don't know yet. I can't answer that.
Okay. Well, anyway, I emailed Heidi and you, George, and Art about I have a shadow person on film, three of them, actually. Hmm. And my dog happens to be laying on the couch, and, you know, not till later I saw this where she sees the shadow person coming down the hall. And my shadow's on the wall, and you see a shadow of a young man walk either right through me or to the refrigerator.
Oh.
And, I got it on film. And then there's another one later that morning I made of me going down the hall and what looks like I'm gone and there's a shadow of a woman following me. And she kind of moves swiftly.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that there's not many people who have that
right
on film. Mm-hmm. And then, George, you happened to mention about magic mirrors. My boyfriend and I happen to have one.
Oh, you do? What's happened with it?
Well, half of it's mine and half of it's his. And over the weeks, my sight happens to get very blurry. And his sight seems to be kind of crystal clear. But I film in it. And I've made a tape. It looks like the world destruction tape. It looks like a movie of the end of the world. Mm. Through that mirror, we see a little girl in there. But as you watch it, things like transform into other things as you're looking at things in this mirror. I mean, I could go on and on about it. But
that's cool. Something I wanted to point out in regards to you mentioning the shadow lady and the shadow man. The shadow people don't generally try to look like distinctive people. Even the hat man, he's not a shadow. He is an entity all his own. So I'm suspicious that what you caught is probably more of a ghost.
Okay, great. Thanks for the advice. Thanks for the call. First-time caller line, your turn. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Jane from Ashtabula, Ohio.
Oh, hi, Jane.
Hi. Yes, you had asked if anyone had had pets who had seen any of these entities.
I sure did.
Yeah, well, through the years, I have had quite a few pets on many occasions who have seen things that I'm not really sure if they really were shadow people or ghosts or what. But when you were talking about these shadow people being rather malevolent, what I thought were shadow people, I have never gotten the feeling of evil from them.
Yeah. There's a few people that have written to me, but it's really a minority that say that they didn't feel anything evil from these beings. So I don't know why that is or if they were exactly shadow people or not. So it's I don't know, it's kind of up in the air.
Yeah, these were shadows like right out of my peripheral vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get a sense of anything really from them. It's just that I see them when I look over toward that direction, they disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been a couple of occasions when I have experienced an encounter with something else that I thought were demonic, and I actually felt like a furry hand touch my shoulder.
Oh.
A furry hand.
That was kind of spooky. That was one occasion. The other occasion was I woke up like early morning, just when the light was first starting to come through the windows, and I saw at the foot of my bed this, like I thought it was a demon or a devil, and he touched my ankles, and I sat up and I said, "Get the hell out of here!" And he did.
Oh, wow.
As far as my pets, I've had dogs, cats, and horses who have seen all kinds of things. Some I thought were shadows. Some looked like an etheric double, like in a graveyard. On the occasions when I've seen things like etheric doubles, I think the animals and I were the only ones who saw them, and no other humans saw them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do all pets, Heidi, have this ability, or do they just pick it up from their owner? Maybe Jane's pets pick it up from her.
You know, my dog's name is Alien, and he didn't notice anything, and I have tons of things going on. So I think some animals are more reactive to what's going on, and others just are like, oh, hum. And my dog's a little hyper little thing, and he just never reacted to anything.
Okay, let's go west of the Rockies. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, George? This is Grant from Portland.
Sure, Grant.
Hi. Hey, I'm really glad I got through. So I've never actually heard of shadow people, or I've never seen any, but this is, all this reminds me a lot of a dream I had about a month ago. Mm. Like, in my dream, I was somewhere that I understood to be, like, around Northern California for some reason, but I guess it could have been anywhere because dreams are weird like that. Mm-hmm. But, I was traveling through there, and there was, like, a group of people, like, kind of like a group of, it seemed about 20 people that, like, really fit the description of the Hat Man that you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, they were going through, and it was definitely understood, I don't know, by, like, people, I think just characters in my dream telling me that what they did was took people's souls, and that was, like, and they were feeding off of people's souls, and towards the end of the dream, one of them, like, it was pretty much exactly what you guys have described, like, the hat, the red eyes, like, the, like, long black coat, like, black clothes. He approached me, and he did kind of, he gave me, like, the option of joining with them and becoming immortal, but I had to, like, pretty much, like, harvest souls is what I think they were doing. I had to join with them, or I could, like, live a normal life. And it was really weird, and it was, like, actually, like, sort of appealing to be immortal. But then eventually I ended up turning them down, and I don't, it got fuzzy after that. But I just thought I'd share that with you because I was really surprised how close that was to what you guys were talking about.
So you saw an army of Hat Men.
Like, I don't know if they were all Hat Man or just the one I was with, but they all definitely were black and they had red eyes, and it was definitely, like, understood in, like, the world that was my dream that what their purpose was is they were taking souls, like, and that was, like, what they fed on. That was where they got their energy. And it was a really, really vivid, like, almost lucid dream that, like, woke me up, and I felt weird for pretty much the rest of the day.
Yeah. Sounds like you tapped in and got a glimpse and brought something back with you. I mean, information to be able to, you know, share with the people here that are listening. That's very interesting.
How many people, Heidi, have seen the Grim Reaper and they think it's the Shadow Man, the Shadow Hat Man, or vice versa?
I've had quite a few people write to me about seeing a Grim Reaper type of shadow being.
Yes.
But again, with the hood on top, it makes me think it's some kind of a solid entity. And but still, the people feel the evil coming off these people, and they feel like their soul is in danger. So there's that similarity. There's that tie, once again, going on with them.
Has anybody ever reported that this creature, this entity, has spoken to them? And I don't mean in a dream state, but I mean in an actual, really?
Oh, yeah. The Hat Man also, yes. I have stories.
I mean, do they speak via telepathy, or do they hear a voice?
They hear a voice from the Hat Man.
What does it sound like?
Some people have reported it sounding very raspy and almost mechanical, very deep, very rough. The different things that get said, it's usually just a simple phrase like, we came for the boys, but because of you, we couldn't get them or something.
Oh, my. That's all you need.
Yeah, odd things like that.
East of the Rockies, your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Rod in Kansas City.
Hi, Rod.
Kind of forgive me, I'm a little nervous. I haven't really told this story to very many people, let alone, you know, the whole country on your show here.
The whole world.
I suppose I should thank you already for putting together a piece of the puzzle there, Heidi. While I've always been interested in aliens, UFOs, that kind of thing, I've never had any personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
However, where this story starts, let's see, I guess it was the summer of 1989, I had some very close friends that claimed to have had a close encounter, and that preceded my experience with the shadow people. It starts off with kind of a strange phenomenon. The three of us actually had a shared dream one evening. You know, the next day we're talking to each other. Hey, I had this weird dream last night. There was this dark figure on a horse. I saw him come riding up across some large pasture, and he reached out his hand as if to give me something.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, hey, that's a weird dream, and I'm sharing it with my friends, and they were like, well, that's just weird because, you know, the previous night they had a very similar dream. We all talked about it and thought that was strange. I'd never heard of any phenomena like that, but shortly after having that dream, that's when I started seeing the Hat Man. It was kind of comical to me. You know, I'm a fan of weird movies and comic books, and, you know, I was going to art school, you know, so I just chalked it up to imagination that I was seeing this guy, you know, this shadowy guy in the trench coat with the hat and the red eyes. I didn't really think much of it. I just, like I said, you know, I wasn't getting much sleep. I'm going to college. I wasn't doing anything illegal, I swear. You know, like I said, it was totally my imagination, totally, mm-hmm. totally fictitious, totally coincidence. I had to share a dream with these friends of mine, but it wasn't until I started talking about it with people, you know, hey, every now and then I see things out of the corners of my eyes. My friends, you know, I thought maybe I was influencing them or freaking them out. They'd be with me and they'd be like, hey, I just saw something. And it was in the same spot I saw stuff too.
Wow.
You'd be walking across campus, had a girl with me, you know, and I saw him on a roof and I didn't say anything out loud. It's like, oh, you know, there's the guy with the hat following me again, whatever.
Mm.
And the girl would say to me, hey, did you see that? There's a guy standing over there on the roof. And I'm like, okay, you know, this is getting a little weird.
Right.
The phenomenon went on for about 6 months or so, until finally, and I you'll have to forgive me. This is, like I said, this has been several years ago now. I can't recall if I was just in a fit of frustration. I said these words out loud, or if I was in a lucid dream state. But basically, I challenged him. I said, you know, look, either you're here to tell me something, or you're watching me. You know, I did study a lot of or read a lot of very, you know, occult kind of things. And, you know, the old quote, when you look into the abyss looks into you. So I thought perhaps they were, you know, watching me. I don't know.
Right.
But I basically called him out and said, you know, look, either do something or go away. And I do recall having a dream where he came into my dorm room and looked at me and tipped his hat, and the red eyes kind of went away, you know, like under the brim of the hat,
mm-hmm.
and faded away. And since then, I haven't seen them. You know, I haven't seen anything like that since then.
Interesting. Once you confronted him, he left.
Well, but it's kind of anticlimactic for me, though, because, like I said, I haven't really shared this story with many people, and it wasn't until listening to Art, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, where somebody mentioned shadow people, and then somebody called in and said, with a hat and red eyes, that it really kind of freaked me out all over again. You know, I thought this was purely something out of my imagination, let alone a tangible phenomenon, you right. know, shared by other people.
Yeah, a lot of people write me saying the same thing. And you know what? I think sometimes there's a confusion between the Men in Black and this guy with the black hat, because Jim wrote about...
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah. With these friends of mine that claimed they had, you know, saw a UFO or whatever, and I, you know, mm-hmm. was joking about the Men in Black, you know.
No,
let alone one starts following me.
Yeah, your guy definitely sounds like the Hat Man, because Jim Keith wrote in his Men in Black casebook that about the guy riding on the horse in there also. But I think that was the Hat Man. That wasn't the Men in Black type phenomenon.
Whatever it is, Heidi, people are seeing this thing in record numbers all over the planet.
Oh, yeah. I've had reports back to 1950s sent to me. It's ongoing, from New Zealand to China to Belgium. I get letters from everywhere.
I wonder if it's like a message they're trying to tell us, something.
Well, again, it's like unholy encounters, very much like holy encounters occur. I think that, you know, the battle between good and evil is coming to a head, and, you know, people are beginning to witness and see that there are sides to this battle.
So let's go to our final call. Wildcard line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah, hi.
And hi, Heidi.
Hi.
Okay, I'll try to make this as fast as I can. I have narcolepsy, and I have a lot of what you may call, like, spontaneous out-of-body experiences. Mm-hmm. On two of them, I've seen what I think may be shadow entities. One was maybe 2 weeks ago. I was looking or listening to, like, an Art Bell show, and he had somebody on, and they were like, oh, just let it go. You feel buzzing. You hear this. You hear that. Just let it go. For the first time, I didn't try to move a finger or wiggle a toe and wake myself up. In my southeast corner of my bedroom, and the only reason I'm calling is because I saw a picture that you had up of the head and shoulder person.
Right.
He didn't have red eyes. It looked like, you know, the faces that you see on Easter Island, very stone-like. It was tall. I have maybe 9-foot ceilings here, and it nearly reached that. It didn't have, I couldn't make out any facial features, but I got an impression of a very stone-like countenance. And it was just standing there. And I tried to speak to it, and at this point, I could tell that I had already kind of disconnected. So I wasn't in my physical plane. And
speaking of disconnecting, Tara, we are unfortunately out of time. Heidi, maybe she can email you, and you can give her a little response, huh?
Oh, sounds good. I'm
great.
Open for it.
Thanks. Hey, get me the date on the Discovery Channel's X-Ops, okay?
I definitely will, and I'd love to come back on here sometime, do an alien advice straight-up show. How's that?
Okay. Thanks, Heidi. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.